This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Just another Panic Monday.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to have you along as Marketplace continues to look at the fallout of the financial crisis. In Asia today, investors unloaded shares like they were on fire. Japan's Nikkei fell 6% to its lowest close since October 1982. In Hong Kong, shares dropped almost 13%, 4 to 6% losses in Europe so far. It's panic selling. No one knows where the bottom is. Everyone's expecting a global recession. Wall Street's numbers are at five-year lows. The Dow starts off at 8,378. It lost 5% last week. The NASDAQ was down 9% to 1,552. The S&P 500 starts this week at 876. The focus this week will be on the Federal Reserve. The Fed starts meeting tomorrow to decide whether it should cut interest rates again. Joining us now are Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. John, where is the Fed leaning at this point?
The Fed's worried. They're hoping that lower interest rates will free up spending, prime the pump, encourage businesses to borrow, to invest in projects and buy equipment, create jobs. The experts are expecting another half point drop in the rate that banks borrow from each other over the short term. That's pretty low. The rate's now 1.5%. The Fed is signaling that it could make even more cuts in the future. You know, they're trying to show that they're going to be very aggressive in attacking some bleak economic conditions.
Was anyone raising a flag here and saying lowering interest rates is really not a good idea at this point?
Yes. You know, this is down in territory where they rarely go. Some people say that they're just pushing on a string, that they can't get banks to lend to each other, and that this isn't doing any good.
Now, what about the rest of the economic picture this week? I know there are quite a few economic indicators coming out. What are we likely to see?
Yes, we get an overall gauge of the economy on Thursday when the gross domestic product figure comes out, and that's expected to show that the economy is actually contracting, that we are likely in a recession now and have been since the summer. Companies have been reporting very weak sales, low to non-existent profits. Retailers are bracing themselves for a gloomy Christmas, as consumers won't be in a spending mood, you know.
Lots of holly jolly stuff there, John.
Yeah.
All right, John Dimsdale in Washington, thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
One nice thing, I guess, about the economic downturn is that prices are falling. Oil is at $62 a barrel this morning. We haven't seen that in 18 months. And the price of food, corn in particular, is crashing as well. Here's Steve Henn with more.
In the era of ethanol, corn isn't just a food, it's a transportation fuel that tracks the price of oil. Bruce Babcock's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University.
Corn has fallen in almost lockstep with the price of crude oil.
When oil was up around $150 a barrel, a bushel of corn cost around $7.50. Now it's less than half that.
This certainly is a very good news for developing countries where they eat a lot of corn and they're importing a lot of corn from the U.S.
Corinne Alexander is an economist at Purdue. She says U.S. consumers may not see prices drop in grocery stores so quickly. Babcock agrees.
There's a significant lag into supermarket prices.
Grain prices are just a small part of the cost of most processed foods in the U.S. And high prices for grains this summer may mean U.S. meat prices will continue to rise through Christmas. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
While the U.S. and Europe are giving truckloads of money to banks and markets, China's government is sitting atop a mountain of cash, almost $2 trillion in foreign reserves. So what everybody wants to know is, what's China going to do with all that money? From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has this report.
Should China swoop in like a superhero and save the world from the clutches of recession? After all, Beijing's $1.9 trillion in foreign reserves would go a long way toward bailouts or investments just when the market needs them. Ask around Shanghai, and Mr. Feng, the noodle shop owner, says bad idea.
We have our own problems, and why rescue evil America? It sticks its nose in our political business.
In the other corner, MBA student Lin Yang.
The financial system is like the human heart. If it has problems, eventually the rest of the body will too. The U.S. is the world's heart. If it suffers, it will spread to China.
So what would rescue actually mean? First, let's get one thing clear. China is already massively in the U.S. market. It's invested hundreds of billions of dollars in treasury bonds. The question is whether Beijing gets out of those bonds and into American stocks. Michael McCormack is with the financial consultancy ZBen Advisors. He expects China to diversify slowly, since this money has to be around for 50, even 100 years.
These sovereign wealth funds were created to fund the future retirement needs for the population. It's the rainy day money. You don't gamble with the rainy day money.
China has other reasons to be gun-shy. It wants to step softly to avoid political heat from Washington. And Beijing is new at this. Last year, it invested $8 billion in Morgan Stanley and private equity giant Blackstone. Both those stocks have lost more than 50%. Frank Song teaches finance at Hong Kong University. He thinks China's risk aversion means it will get in late.
You may lose a lot of opportunities, but stability outweighs profitable return.
So don't crane your neck looking for a financial superman. Think Clark Kent in slow-mo, shuffling over to the phone booth. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We have some pretty cool things on our website to help you understand the financial crisis, explainers, things like that. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.